Good morning. Hello? Oh, there we go. Good morning. A few things to mention before we get started this morning. First of all, if you're visiting with us, we are glad you're here. We know it's Christmas time, and so that tends to bring in some folks that aren't normally here, and we welcome you. We're glad you're here. We hope that you will come some other time, see what we're like at not Christmas time, to see that we're roughly the same. Maybe a little less jovial with all the presents around the tree and all that, but we're excited to have you here and hope you'll come visit us again. Good to see Bernice. I thought I saw you from behind back there, but Bernice moved away from us not terribly long ago, and maybe seems like longer to you, I don't know, but it didn't seem like that long ago you were gone, and we're glad to have you back for a Sunday. Glad Ken is doing well. We've prayed for him quite a bit. Bernice's son, who is back home in Georgia now. Good to see you again. Now I've got to keep myself straight this morning. Bernice is always the one that kept me straight before when she was here. Couple other things. One, I read about church growth and how to treat guests and all that stuff. There was a tip-off right there. We're not supposed to say visitors. We're supposed to say guests. I have no idea why. People research this stuff and they've decided visitor bad, guest good. But one of the things that you learn is that you do not embarrass your guests on Sunday by having them stand or anything like that. We do want to meet you. We do want you to know that we're glad you're here. But we are not going to make you stand up. We are not going to beat you over the head with things. There are cards there for you to fill out. If you fill one out, I will not show up at your door. We will just send you a little note saying thanks for coming. But what the research does not say is that it's just fine to embarrass new members. So Ryan and Trey, I think a lot of us know who they are, but not everyone does. So if you guys just stand up for just a second. Okay, you can sit down. I didn't warn them I would do that ahead, and I don't know if Mike asked them if that was okay, and they said no, but anyway. They have moved here from Arkansas by way of New Jersey, thus covering my old home and Mike's old home, which is nice. Bringing more SEC our direction. They're Arkansas fans, so Nathan was excited about that. But we're glad to have them among us, and that brings me to thing number two. If you are not normally around here, I think it's an exciting time to be around the Eugene Church of Christ. Mike mentioned last time that something we committed to starting this year as elders and preacher is every time there is a fourth Monday in the month, we get together, or fifth Monday, there's always a fourth Monday. Every time there's a fifth Monday, we get together and we have a list of the entire church. And we talk about things that we know that are going on that need to be prayed about, whether it's health things or just issues that are happening. Or sometimes if everything is going smoothly for you, we just pray that that will continue for you. Or if you've moved away, we'll pray for you continually. If there are things going on with your kids or your grandkids, we try to pray about those things. And I think we did that for the first time on the fifth Monday in March. And we have that list that Denise prints off for us, and we go through it. And then we did it again in the fifth Monday in, I believe it was November. Something Mike didn't mention last week that got me excited as I looked at those two lists is the list that we prayed over in November had 29 more names on it than the list we prayed over in March. And I don't know about you, but that kind of stuff gets me excited. Now, I know it's not all about numbers. And if you're visiting with us, if you're our guest, know that we know it's not all about numbers, and that's not the point. But we love the idea of there being more people here because we feel like more of the work of God can be done as a result of that. So if you have, like me, looked around and thought, you know, it seems like there's more people here, there are. There are at least 29 more people that are around, and during the midst of that time, we've had a few folks that have moved away too, and so there's more than 29 new faces around. And so we are really glad that you're here, that you want to be a part of the work, and if you're our guest this morning, we would love for you to learn more about the work we're doing here. One other thing before we get started, just to mention to you, coming up on January 23rd, we are having a men's event here at the Eugene Church of Christ. The Valley Churches, several times throughout the year, have these men's events. There is one we just did in Corvallis, where we went to Oregon State, which is unfamiliar country for many here in the room. Very familiar country for others here in the room who are wearing your gear this morning. But we went down for a football game, and we learned all about science and God back in the fall. In the spring, we go up to Kaiser, and we have a golf event. And then in the wintertime, on January 23rd, everybody comes here, and we have an event dealing with leadership, and we will go see the UCLA-Oregon basketball game, which the way those two teams are playing might be a little more interesting this year than usual. So we're excited about that. It's coming up on the 23rd of January. Our guest speaker that Saturday will be Randy Willingham. He is the head of the Center for Spiritual Leadership at Harding University, and he will talk to us about power in leadership. So if you know some men that would benefit from that, please invite them to be a part. We'll get together at 9:30 that morning, have some sessions, we'll eat lunch together, then we'll go watch basketball. And if you'd like to be a part of that, there's a sign-up sheet back there, and also you can go to our church website and find the link to buy your basketball tickets there. And if you are sitting there and you're the average man like most of us are, and you think to yourself, I'm not an elder, I'm not a deacon, I'm not really a church leader, this is not for me, it's for you. I think you will find that most of us lead in one way or another. Or if you feel like you don't lead in any way, you have to deal with the people that do. And so hopefully in that Saturday you can learn some things about leading. And just a little giveaway here. He loves to use Barney Fife videos to talk about how not to lead and how not to use power. And if you remember how Barney would wield his power, there's some interesting spiritual things that we can draw from that too. So I think you'll enjoy being there. You'll enjoy being a part. Plan on doing that. All right. If you'd like to turn over to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Now, it is Christmas time, as you can tell from driving around. I live in an apartment complex at the end of Lakeview Drive. And I had no idea what Lakeview Drive was when I moved to Eugene, Oregon. I just knew that our apartment complex was down at the end of it. What I have learned since then is those are houses I will never afford. They're very nice and large, and if you live there, more power to you. I've got no problem with that. But one will come up for sale. We'll always look at it on Zillow or one of those things and realize we live in a really nice part of town in an apartment. And one thing we have noticed is even though I don't see a lot of cars that seem to be leaving for church on Sunday mornings, I do see a lot of Christmas lights at Christmas time. And I have learned when I want to go home and I'm in a hurry at Christmas time, I don't go down Lakeview Drive. I come at it from the other side because everybody is driving about 8 miles an hour to look at all the Christmas lights. And for that reason and many others, we will talk about the birth of Christ this morning. Now, I don't think that we're commanded in Scripture to celebrate December 25th for any particular reason. I have no idea if he was born on that day. I know people that are convinced that he was. I know other people that are convinced it was any day other than that day, and probably any time of year other than this time of year. And I'll be quite honest with you, I really don't care. It's an interesting debate. We can read about it and study about it. But in the end, the world has decided, for whatever reason, this is the day it gets celebrated. And if they're going to talk about it for this day, then we might as well too. And if you were coming this morning as one of our guests, we will talk about the birth of Christ today, but you could easily come in the middle of August and hear about the birth of Christ too, because we're excited about that most of the time. But beginning here in Luke chapter 2, in verse 1, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that the census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. Now, I remember as a kid getting the census form in the mail. My mom worked at the post office when I was very small, and the census of 1980, when that rolled around, I remember getting the form in the mail and probably be more excited about it than anybody else in our house was. For most people, that's just another thing either to ignore or to fill out. And you're not terribly excited. As a 7-year-old kid, this is like a big deal. And they only do this once every 10 years. It's even more special than the Olympics. And I looked through this form, and I asked all the questions. They let me fill it out. And I asked everybody's date of birth, and I asked everybody's, how do you define what you do as a job? And we talked about all kinds of things. And I went through this form, and it was just incredibly exciting. And then sent it away expecting some prize or something, I don't know. And nothing ever came. As these folks go through the census, not a terribly exciting time, and we see in other gospel accounts that it was actually kind of a frightening time, as this edict had been sent out by Herod to kill these children that would come along because he feared the king who was on his way, because he liked being king. And as they began to run from that and then have to deal with the idea of the census, we start to realize very quickly that in the course of governments and nations, there are a lot of things that are outside of our control. You ever feel that way nowadays? I mean, this is a 2,000-year-old story. This is all just ancient history. None of this is relevant to us. But really, this is kind of what goes on. Within the last couple weeks, we've seen a couple debates on television. Maybe there's a your guy in there or your lady in there. Maybe there's not. I have seen an awful lot of people I saw a thing on Facebook the other day. It was a picture of a person praying by a Christmas tree. And it said, God, please bring us better candidates. Maybe some of you feel that way. Maybe some of you look at your country and it's not the country you recognize. Maybe some of you don't care about any of that and just try to escape it when you get here on Sunday. Sorry. I look at this story here in Luke chapter 2 and I start to realize as all these governmental things can be out of our control, that God can still be operating in the midst of all of that. Now, sometimes we don't like to acknowledge that because they're not going the direction we want them to go. But if we think for a minute that God can't still use that, then we are short-selling God. God can use any situation he desires to use, any people he desires to use, in spite of them at times. And here he uses the occasion of the threat of death from Herod and of the census that is going on to bring the family of Jesus to the place that he wants them to be. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. Now, I'll give you the short version of the Old Testament, the 39 books and all the chapters. David is a very important person in the course of things. And the line of David is going to matter a whole lot as things go on. As you read through the prophets of the Old Testament, they talk again and again of a Messiah who is going to come, and that Messiah is going to come from the line of David. And if you were to skip back into Matthew and look at the genealogies that he has, you will see that the house of David plays a very important role of that. And now the city of David will too, because Joseph takes his family down to the city of David. All because of this governmental stuff that was going on, but unbeknownst to a lot, all because of this is the plan that God had set in motion. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. Now, suddenly things are out of order. Now, in our culture today, this is not out of order. This is normal. This is how things go. But in this day and time, if you were pledged to be married, you were not with child yet. It was a very unknown kind of thing and very scandalous for people to be involved in. You start to realize that suddenly God has not chosen necessarily the route that a lot of us might choose for this story to unfold. He's chosen these two people that were very, very unprepared. Now, he's tried his best to prepare them with messages from angels, with reassurances, with having them in the places they need to be at the times they need to be there. But in the end, they are still very unprepared. Now, in reality, this is also the story of a lot of us, too, because you remember those days when that first child came along, some of you in the midst of it, some of you long, long ago, and how unprepared you felt. And I've shared with you before the me with David as he first comes along and he is in Stacy's arms and the wheelchair is there bringing them out of the hospital and I'm pulling the car around and making sure the car seat is just so and I had taken to the fire department already to make sure it was fitted right because I don't know what I'm doing. And as I'm loading them into the car, I'm thinking to myself, that nurse is not coming with us. And I have no idea what I'm doing. I had that thought again last week as my wife, if you don't know, had surgery last week, had some vertebrae fused in her neck, and the nurse brought her out in a wheelchair to our car, and we went home, and I thought, I don't know what I'm doing. I have to make sure her head doesn't fall off here in the next little while, as everything's been refused together, and I've got to make sure she takes medicine when it's supposed to be taken and does the things she's supposed to do, and I thought, I'm not equipped for this. I don't know what I'm doing, and my alarm goes off at 4 a.m, and normally that's occasion to throw the phone against the wall or something. And now it means I have to make sure she's medicated. These are new parents that are not equipped for any child, nevertheless, the Son of God, to come their way. And yet God has chosen them to be a part of the story. And as we begin this morning, I want you to think of a couple things. One, we talked about the governments, and sometimes we feel out of control. And that's part of life. That's normal. Two, sometimes God has presented us with a situation to work in which we feel ill-equipped. And you know what? That's okay too. Because what are we going to do? Are we going to go ahead and go into that ill-equipped situation and work as best as we can? Or are we going to let that situation go by? And for a lot of us, we let it go by. We sat at Tyler Borman's house 2 weeks ago, and Tyler let us know that this Sunday he was going to be out of town. And I thought to myself, well, my wife just had surgery, so I'm not volunteering anything right now. And Tyler Claxton said, well, I don't know my wife's work schedule, but we could meet at my house. And I thought, great, the group can carry on. We can do what we're going to do. Now, did Tyler have to do that? No. Did Tyler have to invite Alabama fans into his home? Tyler's an Auburn fan. We don't do those things. And yeah, he's good with it. And by the way, Borman's group meeting at Tyler's house tonight. I think to myself, how many opportunities are we presented with and we talk ourselves out of them because we are not equipped? I think of Shane and Lauren, the first time that they said, you know, we like teens and could we work with the teens here somehow? And then we said to them, well, let's teach a class together. And we begin to get to co-teach this class together and not, things are going well. And then the adult class needs me to come teach in there. And I say, here you go, Shane. Do it. And I thought to myself, at Shane's age, I don't know that I would have said, okay. I think I said, help. Find me somebody. Bring someone in here. These people have, and we talked about it in the adult class this morning, angels have come to them and said, here's what's going to happen. And rather than react with, why me, God, rather than react with, find someone else, as Moses did in the Old Testament, by the way, they say, all right, we will be a part of the plan. And so these people come along, and they're expecting a child. In verse 6, while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to their firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. They're just looking for a guest room. I'm looking for a hospital with trained professionals. I want all this to go the way it's supposed to go. And they had so much less, and yet they continue on as part of the story. And for each of us, as we feel ill-equipped, we feel like we don't have the training we need, we feel like we don't have the tools that we need, God would say to us, teenagers in a manger. They had the tools that they needed. That was it. Teenagers in a manger and a place just to be, and not ideal, but here they are. And they're able to be part of the story. Why can you not be part of the story too? And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. I don't know who you would have show up when the Son of God came to earth. I think it would be a little more regal than this. I was with my wife. My wife loves sappy girl movies. And so we've been very accommodating in the apartment for the last several days as she's recovering. We were watching The Princess Diaries 2 yesterday. And the princess gets married, spoiler alert. And it's a grand ceremony with everybody with their herald trumpets and everybody's in their tuxes with their tails. And it's all just very official and shiny and nice and a great audience there. And God finds shepherds in a field. Shepherds in a field, and an angel of the Lord comes to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified because they're shepherds in a field. They're expecting sheep and sheep things, not an angel, not shining, not all this grand everything that's going on, and they don't know what to do. But the angel said to them, like the angels usually do, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. I bring you, and here's where I really want us to center this morning. Good news that will cause great joy for all the people. The reason we celebrate this time of year is not necessarily because it happened this time of year. It's not because we like the lights and the trees and Elf and the Christmas movies and all those things. It's not because we like the songs. It's not because we like to drive down my street in front of me at 8 miles an hour when I'm in a hurry. It's because this is good news of great joy for all people. Because God, instead of being separated and away and above, is now here. And that changes everything. I'll have to admit, when I read this story, and there are lots of questions that we ask when we read stories like this. Jim and I were talking this morning about why does Mary get it when the angel is there, and yet later on it seems like she's surprised when he's the Son of God. She knows. She's right in the midst of the whole story, and we can have discussions about all those kinds of things. The most confusing thing to all of this, in all of this to me, is why, if you were God, would you bother with any of this? Why would you take messed up people who deny you at every turn, who never seem to get things right, who don't understand you, or seem to want to understand you a lot of the time? Why would you put your son here for them? Because if I think of the places I would put my sons to risk their lives in any way, it's a very small list. I think instead of the ways I would want to protect and make sure everything was good, that's a much bigger list for me. And yet he sends his son here, and the angel says that I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. We are people who have been at one point in time or are currently lost. And that is a lonely feeling. Now, I will tell you, it was a much lonelier feeling if you were traveling in pre-GPS days and pre-everything on your phone days. And now you feel like you can get yourself out of that. But when you are truly lost, it's a lonely feeling. It's a helpless feeling. And whether it's been you've been on a trip and took a wrong turn, or you remember as a child being in that store and losing sight of mom or dad, lost is not a good place to be. For much of our world, I don't know that we really feel like we are. I feel like we think we've got it together. And things, even when they're tough, are going okay, and we know what's going on, and everything's fine. And he would say to us, we are lost. Because if there is a Savior, that means there are people in need of saving. And that is us. And so the good news of great joy is that he is not content with us being lost. He wants us instead to be saved. He wants us to be with him. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And if I'm one of the shepherds at this moment, I think I'm thinking, cloths in a manger? They should be in a palace somewhere. This should be something much better. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. There are a lot of things in life that if you hear about, you've just got to go see more about it. You got to go see it. You've got to go experience it. And this good news of great joy that shepherds are getting here is that same good news of great joy we have today. It's something that we need within our lives to experience. We need within our lives to know more about. We need within our lives to get closer to. And too many times we just kind of set it off to the side, pull it out on Sundays, pull it out at special times. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. I would imagine they're not expecting to hear this news from shepherds either. I would imagine that the people that you know who do not know God are not expecting that life-changing news from you. Now, maybe they are. Maybe they, you know, they look at your empty driveway this morning and they think to themselves, well, those people go somewhere on Sunday mornings every week. Maybe they've seen enough about you. Maybe they've seen the church show up at your home when there's a time of need and they know something, so it's not a total shock. But for most people, they are not expecting that life-changing news from you next Tuesday, a month from now, a year from now. The shepherds are pretty ordinary people. The shepherds are not trained communicators. The shepherds have not showed up with an outline or a PowerPoint today. Shepherds are not incredibly educated, except in the way of sheep. For each of us, we have the ability to share this good news. You don't need a pulpit. You don't need a microphone. You don't need PowerPoint. You just need to know the news and then to share it with someone else. And so the shepherds cannot contain themselves because the news is that good. And for each of us, the news is that good. And I hope as we leave here today, we cannot contain ourselves anymore. I hope that we're excited that there are 29 new names on that list and not content that it's only 29. I hope we're wanting the list the next time that fifth Monday rolls around and the time after that to see more and more people there, not because we're excited about numbers, but because this good news must be shared. And we know that we are the ones to do it. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And this is probably understatement of understatements. You have your baby, you're in a manger, these shepherds show up out of nowhere. They're excited, you're excited. And she ponders all these things in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. The angel said this would happen. This is exactly what happens. God tells us what will happen, and those things are exactly what happens. But what I really like is the way Matthew puts it. And he quotes from Isaiah, and he says, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. God was here on earth and walked among people. And that is a pretty amazing story. That is good news to be told. God has been here. God was not content to watch us from afar. He sent his son, part of him, to experience the life that we live, to teach us, to be an example to us, to serve, to have compassion, to love, and to be killed and to rise again. And that's the other part of Christmas that, as much as I love it and I love the story of the birth, the story does not end there. And there's a movie several years ago. I almost hate to reference it because it's just crazy. Talladega Nights. Will Ferrell, he's a NASCAR driver. His family sits around the table, and they say a prayer. And it is the most obnoxious prayer I think I've probably ever seen in film. I showed the clip of it to the youth group one time, and they're all laughing all the way through it. Will Ferrell's family all prays to sweet baby Jesus. And throughout the prayer, they call him baby Jesus, infant Jesus, everything you can think of, because in their minds, that's Jesus. It's the Jesus in a manger. It's the Jesus the shepherds and the wise men come to see. But Jesus' story doesn't end there. He goes into a life of ministry where he heals and he helps and he feeds and he teaches. And the way Paul would put it in Romans, beginning in verse 5, hope does not disappoint us. This is a story, if nothing else this morning, of hope. Hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And even that is another piece of the good news of great joy, that he died for us. But the beauty of the whole story is it doesn't end there either, because 3 days later, he rises from that grave. He comes here, he is born, he lives, he dies, and he rises again. And now he sits at the right hand of God in heaven, preparing a place for us so that we can be with him again. This morning, good news. All we have to do is accept that. All we have to do is acknowledge that he is exactly who he says he is. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And we can believe in him, and we can confess his name, and we can be baptized into him, and our lives can be changed forever. And that Savior that comes for the world can be our Savior too. God has been here with us, and he is still with us now. And this morning, if you have not taken him on in baptism, we would love to see that happen. Let's add another birthday to this time of year that we can celebrate your birth into Christ. Or this morning, if you have been living in such a way that just doesn't look a whole lot like the life he would want us to live, we are happy to pray with you. We are happy to help you along. We're happy to acknowledge that we fall short too. Whatever need you may have this morning, please come as we stand and sing.
Weary, tired. standing a load of care. Are you a soul that seeking rest from the burden you bear? Do you know my Jesus? Do you know my friend? Have you heard he loves you and that he will abide till the end? Where is your heart, O pilgrim? What does your light reveal? Who hears your call for comfort when not but sorrow you fear? Do you know my Jesus? Do you know my friend? Have you heard that he loves you and that he will abide till the end? Who knows your disappointment? Who hears each time you cry? Who understands your heartache? Who dries the tears from your eyes? Do you know my Jesus? Do you know my friend? Have you heard he loves you and that he will abide till the end? You may be seated.
I want to take you back for a second to the last verse of that song. Not to sing it, but just to pay a little closer attention to the words, because sometimes we don't. But I thought to myself, I really feel like God has a hand in everything we do. Maybe more than the average person does, but sometimes even in the songs that we sing, that they're just appropriate for a moment. Third verse of that song, who knows your disappointments? Who hears each time you cry? Who understands your heartaches? Who dries the tears from your eyes? Do you know my Jesus? Do you know my friend? Have you heard he loves you and that he will abide to the end? What a great message this morning, that some of the things that are just even unspoken, that we don't know how to say, that Jesus knows. He knows the disappointments we have. He knows this is a celebratory time of the year for some of us and a difficult time of the year for some of us. And he is there with us through all of it. We had two to come forward this morning. Stephanie comes forward asking for prayers for her grandmother, Virginia, who is dealing with a lot of memory issues right now. And I think we all can understand, having loved ones who have dealt with those kinds of things, how tough that is, to be recognized at times and not at times, and to know things at times and not at other times. And ask that we pray for her grandmother and also for her family as they try to figure out the best ways to encourage and to help her. And then also Ryan Thrower comes forward this morning. They moved out here for Trey's job, and Ryan is struggling finding one of her own and would just like some prayers for her job search and for the right direction that she needs to go in to be a help to their family. And I think that's something that we can all join in praying about, or who knows, maybe somebody's ready to hire somebody and we can figure it out that way. But I know uncertainty is just a tough thing to deal with too. And so I ask that you will not only pray about these things here this morning, but as we leave and in your daily walk, that you will continue in prayer for Ryan and for Virginia. Let's pray together. God, we thank you this morning for Stephanie and for her grandmother, Virginia. And as Virginia is dealing with memory issues, we ask that you you help her, that you bring her peace and that you encourage her. If there are things that the doctors can do to help her along, that they find the right medications and the right treatments. If there are things you would like to do miraculously to help with that, we ask that you work there. And however that situation goes, we ask that you help her family to be the encouragement they can to her, that they can be people that can build each other up and deal with what is a difficult time. And with Ryan and Trey, we are just incredibly thankful that they are here and a part of us now. We know that coming across the country is a big move. I know personally that coming across the country is a big move. And we ask that you help them as they settle in here to be able to get into a life that they can get used to, that they can know how you want to use them here in Oregon, that you will, for Ryan specifically, help her to figure out what she needs to be doing in terms of a job. If there's something that you've got out there for her, or if you have some other plan that you need for her, that you will help her to see that and help it to be as clear as it can be. And for each of us who is around their family, that we can be an encouragement, that we can help in any way that we can, that if there are contacts that we can help them make, that we can do that, but that we can understand that each of us as a member of this family has things that we can do to help others. For the rest of us here this morning who may be dealing with loss or struggles during this holiday season, help us to find comfort and peace and hope. And of course, to realize that we are so blessed because you have sent your son here to live among us. In your son's name we pray, amen. Please stand for our closing song and the prayer to follow.